Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
What a blessing already. I said when my kids graduated from high school, I was going to go back to school. And so not only is West Coast Baptist College here, but I'm actually a student there. I took two courses this last year and also took two courses at Norris. So I've taken whatever that is. I don't do math. You don't have to learn math in college. So took six courses over this last year and look forward to taking more and working towards in my education and enjoyed already took biblical ethics with Brother Getch, and I took a counseling course from West Coast, took Christology at Norris, as well as prison epistles in the last year. So really enjoyed it. Kind of got me out of my, that rut thing that people get into, and I sure have enjoyed studying in a different way. And the college has been really a blessing to me. And for me to take courses there and see exactly what's going on and the impact it's already having in the ministry God's given me, I look forward to see what God's doing. Brother Weaver, I think last time you were here, we gave you 10 minutes to preach. You got a lot more than that tonight. So we'll give you more. Brother Weaver, come on and preach for us.
Thank you so much. Let me encourage all of us, if you're interested in online courses, if you'll see Rita or me after church right back at the table, we'll be happy to show you how you could take some Bible college courses as well. We're accredited, and we thank the Lord for that. By the way, you know that Dr. Rasmussen and I are brother-in-laws. I don't know if you know that. Mark's wife is Rita's sister, so it's a family thing, and so it's a pretty tight group there. And thank you again, Pastor Crawford, for allowing me to take time tonight to share my heart with your church, because I love this church. We're in church every night. I better love church. Amen? Yeah. So let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, if you would please, chapter number 14, verse number 22. And I do appreciate the time, and I'll watch it very carefully. I don't want to abuse it, of course, being a guest. But did you hear about the Baptist preacher? He was preaching on a Sunday night like this, and the preacher said, you've got 15 to 20 minutes. And so he said, all right. So he got up and he said, I'll be brief tonight. Well, he began preaching. And 7 o'clock became 7:30, 7:30 became 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 8:30. And about 8:45, Brother Agassin, about where you were sitting, just had all he could take, and he got up and started walking out. And he made the preacher mad. He said, hey, what do you think you're doing? The guy said, I'm leaving, man. And the preacher said, you can't do that. That's rude. And that guy said, you talk about rude. You said you were going to preach just a few minutes. Man, it's just about the sun's coming up. And it made the preacher mad. And he said, what do you think you're doing? Where are you going? And the guy said, I'm going to go get a haircut. And the preacher said, you should have done that before church. And the guy said, I didn't need one then. You know, so I'm going to be very, very careful. I promise you that. Let's ask the Lord to help us, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces us. It'll clean us up. And I pray tonight it would do just that. And I pray, Father, we would pay strict attention to what Jesus says, and this journey that Peter took, and the walk that he took on the water. And I pray that you'd help us to live by faith and not by fear. Please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Back a year ago, March, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young people left the campus at West Coast Baptist College. We had to send them home for their protection, for our protection, to follow guidelines. And as they left, I was sitting in my office on the second floor of the North Building, and my heart just crushed to watch these young people in their cars and buses and going down to LAX and Burbank Airport and Ontario Airport. And I was weeping, to be honest with you, because I love the college and I believe so deeply in what we're trying to do in getting young people on the field and young people out in ministry. Our goal is not students. Our goal is graduates. Get them there. Get them finished and get them out on the field and encourage them along the way and love them and love them like they've never been loved and be fair and honest and have a great time. But work hard in the intellectual side of and getting them prepared, but most of all the spiritual side. And they left and I went home. My wife and I went home that morning, And I sat down and I opened my Bible and I said, I've got a choice here. I can live in fear being 74 years old, or I can live by faith. I've got a choice to make. I've got a choice. And I said, now, Lord, help me to live by faith, because we've been doing that since Rita and I got married for 50 years. We got married. We hardly had anything. She was, I promised her mother and dad, and Brother Zellner and I were talking about it a moment ago. I promised her mother and dad, if they'd let me marry her, that she had graduated from Tennessee Temple College and she had 2 years left. And I told them we'd do it, and we did it. And I'll say more about that in a moment. And but she and I have lived by faith for 50 years, and living by faith works.
Amen.
Living by faith works. You can't please God without faith, the Bible says. And so I want to talk about that briefly tonight. Look at verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch, that's about 3 a.m. in the morning, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Tonight, just for a few moments, I want to challenge all of us who have stepped back in fear, because we've got some momentum going now. Folks are getting back in church. And I don't know what the future holds, but I know exactly who holds the future. And I'm not gonna retreat in fear. I'm not going to do that. I'm almost 75 years old, and I'm asking God to give me strength for as many years as he'll give Rita and me to do what we're doing. And he's been good to Rita and me, and I'm here tonight. And God has enabled us, and looking forward to tomorrow night, but we got tonight. And so here's a great opportunity for us tonight to step back and when we leave to say, and to say, even emotionally, I'm not going to cower in this thing. I got to go to work tomorrow. I get to hop in the van tomorrow morning with my wife and these young ladies. We'll talk about the Lord. Well, Rita and I'll talk about the Lord. They go to sleep, and then we'll drive back over to Midland, and it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. And but some of you tomorrow will go to work and face somebody. It's hard to work for him or her. You'll hear God's name taken in vain. You'll hear people griping and belly aching about the COVID and everything else under the sun, and you'll hear dirty jokes. You've got all that to look forward to tomorrow. You need the Lord. You need faith. You need great faith. Not just faith, but in today's culture, we need to be refreshingly different. And I'm not talking about pumping yourself up. Okay, I got it. No, I'm not talking about that at all, because I'm getting older. I get tired easily, and my memory and everything else that comes along with being 75 years old, you know. But I want to die living by faith. Amen. And I want to talk to you about that. The Bible has a list of many unforgettable walks. And I think about Abraham and his walk with his son Isaac. I love that, up to Mount Moriah. And Isaac walking up there, and he says, Dad, I see the wood, I see the fire, but I don't see a sacrifice. And I can hear old Abraham's voice choking, and he says, God will provide. God will provide. And God did provide. And he will provide. God is a provider. And we need to quit sitting on our hands thinking, well, woe is me for the pandemic and all these things going on. No, we have an opportunity. We have a refreshing opportunity. Young people who come to West Coast now are coming by faith, and they're coming with great expectancy and great enthusiasm, and because they want to graduate and get out. And here's Abraham walking up the hill to Moriah, and he's got his son with him, and God did provide, because he walked up there by faith, not fear. God will provide. I think of the walk of Moses crossing the Red Sea. You talk about faith. What's that in your hand, Moses? A rod. A rod? A rod. What's a rod? What can a rod do? Well, by faith, boom, whoosh, let's walk across the sea here. Amen. You got a rod? There it is. Yeah. Get in the rod. Get in this by faith, and Lord, I don't know what you have for me tomorrow. I know you've given me today, and I want to live today. I want to make today my masterpiece for you. Give me strength. Give me wisdom. Help me to walk by faith and not by fear. And Moses was liberated with that walk. I think about the frustrating 40 years that he walked around in the desert. 40 years. Reed and I just celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary last year. Goes by that quickly, but not walking around the desert for 40 years. But he did it by faith. I think of Joshua and all those folks walking around Jericho. We're going to walk around the wall 7 times. The wall is going to fail. The wall is going to cave in. Are you sure? Positive. How do you know? We're going to do it by faith, and because God has reassured me, if we'll do by faith, God will come through. God will come through. I think about the disciples walking on the road to Emmaus with Jesus, and they got it. They said, "This must be the Son of God." And that was a wonderful walk. I think about Paul's interrupted walk on the road to Damascus when he saw a great light. And God saved him, blinded him. He had to get somebody to help him later to get his sight back. And the persecutor and the murderer and the one that brought fear to the Jews got saved by faith. For grace are you saved by faith. He got the gift of God, and he took advantage of it. I think of Jesus walking up to Mount Calvary. My wife and I were in Jerusalem in 1972 or 3. And a good friend of mine, he and I walked up on the top of Mount Calvary early in the morning. We got up there early in the morning, and we walked from the Garden Tomb. It's about a mile from the Garden Tomb all the way back up the backside of Mount Calvary. When you get to the front of Mount Calvary, you're looking out over Jerusalem. And old Bob and I start singing, "Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified at Calvary." Boy, I'm telling you what, it was a victory time. And maybe you can't run up to Jerusalem tonight, but take a few moments and remember your salvation and thank the Lord for that by faith. By faith, in the midst of all the news and the culture and everything that you hear, and who knows what the truth is, except this is truth. And you can get truth right here in this church. And I admonish you when people come in, you don't know who's going to walk in those doors, but treat them like they're somebody, because they are. Because they are. And Jesus, his walk to Mount Calvary. Then there's Peter here, walking on water. It's amazing. I want to give you just a few thoughts. If we're going to get out of the boat, that's what I want you to do. I want you to get out of the boat of fear. Okay? Make a decision. Emotionally, spiritually, sometimes physically, the culture. I'm going to get out of the boat by faith. I'm going to step out of the boat by faith. I'm going to walk by faith because Jesus is there. And he will empower you and he will help you. Now, you can read every self-help book on the shelf, but get a hold of this self-help book and get a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ and get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. If you're not tithing, get out of the boat. Start tithing. Do it by faith. Amen. God honors that. Young people, do you work a part-time job? Tithe. Give to missions. Give, and it shall be given to you. Too many Christians are living like this today. We're living in an entitled society when we should be living this way. I admonish you in the Lord, but I'm afraid to tithe. Get gospel tracts. Get some gospel tracts, and give it. And you say, well, I get nervous. Me too, and so I do it this way. And they take it because they feel sorry for me. You know, bless his heart. You know, bless his heart. But do it. Do it by faith. Yeah, almost every week at Lancaster Baptist Church, somebody will walk down that aisle, trust Jesus Christ, get in that baptismal tank, and somebody will say later, "How did you hear about Lancaster Baptist?" One of those pieces of paper in my door. One of those pieces of paper in the bathroom down at Walmart. Come on now. Do it by faith. Trust the Lord. Everybody gets involved. If everybody in this room gave out one tract this week in Hazlitt, God could use that. Do it by faith. I just admonish you. Unusual fear. Maybe you're sitting on a memory that you just can't shake. Maybe something happened in your past, and the devil uses that to make you afraid. Well, I blew it. I messed up. Okay, that was then. I love what the girls just sang. You can start all over. The slate can be clean. Jesus is in the forgiving mood. And we need to be in the forgiving mood with each other. Yeah, man, you got my seat, dude. Okay, well, let's just leave the church because you got my seat. And sometimes that's a mentality, Pastor, and people wonder why the pastor's discouraged. Hello? Get up and get the vacuum cleaner and get that thing running around here. Don't worry about where you sit. Well, unusual fear. So, Peter, if we're gonna get out of the boat, here's what I've learned in 50 years of marriage. And my wife and I have never talked about divorce or any of that. She's mentioned murder two or three times, but never has she talked about divorce and separation. Here's what I've learned about this matter of getting out of the boat, okay? And I'm not Mark Rasmussen. I'm just Toby Weaver, the bus kid from Virginia, okay? And I know it, okay? I know it. But God's been so good to me. If you're going to get out of the boat, it's going to take some extra trust. It'll take extra trust. I need to forgive that person. It'll take extra trust. I need to start tithing. It'll take extra trust. I need to get more involved in the church. It'll take extra trust. I used to sing up in the choir, but I don't sing up anymore because they practice all the time. Have you heard the choirs that don't practice? You need to get up there, okay? Get back in the choir. Well, I used to work in the nursery, but the babies, you know what they do? Yeah, well, that's why you have nursery workers. Okay, so others can enjoy the service. Get back in the nursery by faith. Roll up your sleeves. Get back in the game. Get back in the game. Well, you know, this COVID, I kind of got used to doing nothing. Well, it's time to get out of the COVID and do something. Amen. And we're going to do it at West Coast. And these girls and my wife and I, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. God help us. It takes extra trust. And I've learned along with this, there's unusual fear. I used to wonder why old people are so slow. Now I know. Because I are one. I just had a total hip replacement. You said, did it hurt? Does the Pope wear a beanie? Yeah, it hurt. Hurts like all get out. But we got to her, and so I said, Doc, tell me exactly what I need to do because I want to be a blessing this summer. And he told me, and I've done it, and here I am. But it was unusual fear. Moses was slow to speak. Extra trust. It's going to take extra trust to get out of that boat, but this thing, because, and you may have a little unusual fear to go along with it. But I read the other day somewhere, 366 times in the Bible says, fear not. Fear not. One for every day of the year and one for leap year, 366 times. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. I've learned getting out of the boat on these things are divine appointments. And they're life-changing. They're defining moments. I met Brother, I think it's Zellner. Is that right? Get that right? Brother Zellner. He and I went to the same Bible college, Tennessee Temple College in Chattanooga, way back when Abraham Lincoln was president, back there. But we were talking, he graduated in 74, and I went there in 64. And I went there in 66, and we began talking about the good old days at Temple. Dr. Charles Weigel wrote, "No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus," and many, many hundreds of other songs. Dr. Weigel was a great man of God. He was 96 years old when I was a freshman at Tennessee Temple. And walked into chapel the first time, and I was nervous. I didn't know anybody. I was just a bus kid, you know. But I saw Dr. Weigel sitting over there under the balcony, and I went over there, and I sat down beside Dr. Weigel, 96 years old. And I said, "Dr. Weigel?" He said, "That's me." 96, "That's me." He said, "Who are you?" I said, "Toby Weaver from Lynchburg, Virginia." He said, "Tony?" I said, "Toby. Nice to meet you, Tony." I said, "Okay, I'll be Tony. I'll be whatever you think I need to be." And so we got up and started singing congregationally. Dr. Faulkner was up there leading. Remember that? And I was singing my guts out. Veins on my neck were sticking about this far out. You know, I'm just screaming. And Dr. Weigel, in his love, he leaned over. He said, "Tony," I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "How come you ain't singing?" I said, "I am singing, man." And then a couple of minutes later, he said, "Tony, Dr. Robertson's going to call me up there to sing 'No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus.' I'm going to forget the words." I said, "No, Doc, that's your song, man. You're not going to forget. Oh, yeah, I'm going to forget the words." And Dr. Robertson called him up, and he had his walker. They helped him get to the platform, and he was 96, and he was shaking. They played the introduction, and he went, "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. He said, "Play it again, please. Play it again, please." And he couldn't get it. And Dr. Robertson got up and helped him sing it through. And Dr. Weigel came back down, and I was crying like a baby, man. It just broke my heart. And he sat down, and he said, "Tony." I said, "What?" He said, "Shoot. Told you I was going to read them stupid words." And I said, "Dr. Weigel, that was so good." And I fell in love with him. I'd push him around in his wheelchair, you know. And he promised me he'd live to be 100 and watch me graduate. Well, a few weeks later, I heard he was sick in the hospital. And so I borrowed a guy's car about midnight and went over to Campbell's Clinic in Chattanooga, went to his room, and I walked in. He said, "Tony, it's after hours. You're going to get demerits." I said, "I'll take them." I said, "I'll take them. I love you, Dr. Weigel." And he said, "I'm glad you came by tonight." He said, "I'm going home. I'm going home." I said, "Good, man. I borrowed a guy's car. Come on, let's go." He said, "No, I'm going home." I said, "Dr. Weigel, you promised me you'd live to be 100 and watch me graduate." He said, I lied. I'm telling you, we don't have to fear the unknown. You know? And he helped me so much. I went down to try to be a voice minor. He said, you ought to try to minor in voice. I went down there, and I got real nervous. All these music faculty people, you know. Do you have your Italian aria? And I said, "What is that?" And Glenn, they gave me the music, and I got real nervous. It was Caro Mio Ben, and here's what it sounded like. And you were a singer, Brother Wiggins. Here's what it sounded like. Caro Mio Ben, senza di me. And they're all laughing. They're about to fall out on the floor. And I'm thinking, I don't think I'm doing very good here. And so Mrs. Herman washed me out in the hallway, and she said, "Toby, you're a nice young man, but you should pursue some other major." And I went down, I knocked on Dr. Weigel's door. I was crying again. And he opened the door, and he said, "You didn't make it, did you?" I said, "I stink." And he said, "I know you can sing." Well, we were at Hiles Anderson College for 13 years, and I was in charge of all the music there. I'm telling you, get out of the boat by faith. Get out of the boat by faith. I wanted to get married. And I came from a broken home, busted home, and got kicked out of school 2 years, a boy in a boy's home, just messed up. And I prayed that God would give me a pure girl, but I didn't deserve it. Well, I was so messed up, but I got saved. And Brother Falwell back in the day sent 25 of us to Tennessee Temple College from Lynchburg way back in 66. And I remember I was praying, and one day the phone rang, and at work I was selling shoes at Sears, and a young man said, "Toby, let's double date tonight." And I said, "I can't, Greg. I don't have a date." He said, "I'll fix you up." I said, "Nuh-uh. You talking about blind date?" I had one blind date. She was 6'5". She was 6'5". And she was real flirty. She kept trying to hold my hand, you know, at the mall. So we were walking around the mall. And I said, "No, I ain't gonna do that, Greg. Forget it, man." And he finally said, "Her name is Rita Ford." And he said, "Trust me." And I did. And so that night I met Rita Ford for the first time. Pure as driven snow, pastor's daughter, oldest of six kids, good with finances, kind of pretty, all that good stuff. So I met her. I went back to my room. I told my roommate, Owen Grant, I said, "I'm going to marry that girl." In 11 months we did. We've been married 50 years. Get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. God has wonderful things for you, but we got to hear the defining moments in closing. Defining moment number one: you will miss Jesus if you're not looking for him. Peter was looking for him. What is that? We're confused. We're troubled. What is that? And Peter said, "It's Jesus. Nobody else could do that but Jesus. He said, it's Jesus. And if you're in tune with Jesus, you'll recognize him when he's coming. And he's coming. He loves you. He was coming to the disciples. He loved those men. But we'll miss him if we're not looking. How can you find him? In his love letter. He's right here. And it'll speak to you. Carve out a time. Get one of those devotional books and carve out a time every day where you step out by faith. You get out of the boat. You just get out of the boat and you say, okay, I'm going to do this by faith because I need strength for my marriage. I need strength for my grandchildren. I need strength for our children who are grown. I've got unexpected bills. I've got sickness. I've got and perfect love casteth out fear. And it comes from the Word of God. Defining moment number one, you'll miss him if you're not working. Number two, expect a storm to come along, because it probably will. Because the devil doesn't want you to get out of the boat. So there'll be a storm. There'll be something unexpected. There'll be a heartache. There'll be a disappointment. Expect it. Just expect it, because it'll probably happen. Number three, if I'll get out of the boat, then I'll be where Jesus is. But I got to get out of the boat. I want to be with Jesus. Well, I can't sit here on my hands feeling sorry for myself because of the culture, because of a heartache, because of an illness, because of an unexpected bill, because of a disappointment, because my son let me down, because a grandchild is having problems, because of all these things that happen to every good Christian. They just do. You're not going to get away from it. This is not a name and claim it religion. This is storms come when the storms of life come. I need help, man. I need faith, or I'm going to be in bad shape. So I'm going to miss him if I'm not looking for him. I need to expect a storm. Don't be surprised when it comes, and just be assured that the water is where Jesus is, and then it just may be an opportunity of a lifetime. The opportunity of a lifetime for Toby Weaver was meeting Rita Lucille Ford, who grew up in a pastor's home, who knew all about that. I didn't know any of that stuff, and she's just been a blessing for 50 years. The unexpected thing with Dr. Weigel, you didn't make it, did you? No, said Dr. Weigel, I didn't make it. Man, I am so sorry. He said, they don't know nothing. He said, they get you to sing that Caro Mio Ben song? I said, well, that's right. It was pathetic. And he said, I want you to get in the choir. I want you to learn how to lead singing. Follow Dr. Faulkner. Just watch what Dr. Faulkner does. Just copy it. You can do that, Toby. You can, Tony. You can do that. And he said, God will bless you. Stay teachable. Stay humble. Stay in the game. Don't quit. I know that hurts your feelings down there. I know you want to quit, but don't quit. And I did. I wanted to go, hey, you people are idiots, man. I wanted to sing and man, you embarrassed me in front of you, laughing at me, and man, I was choking up, you know how you do, you know? And he said, no. And so, and I want to say that older people, like Brother Zellner and like myself, and like the sweet lady back here in the wheelchair who had broke her hip, but she's here tonight in a wheelchair, God bless you. Thank you for your faithfulness. She stepped out of the boat and came to church. Right? Right? You get something good out of church when you see stuff like that. And good song leading, and good singing, good piano playing, and Glenn, good to see you, and then with Abby, good to see you. She's gonna make me an uncle. Hallelujah! I told her don't name the boy Toby, and she said we were thinking about that. I said don't do that. They name dogs Toby, and all the way around the room. God bless you. Why don't we just make a decision by faith? Right where we're sitting, I do have fears. I do fear doctors. I do fear hospitals. I do, but sometimes those storms come along, don't they? And so I've got to go to Jesus, and I'll get out of the boat. Join me if you would, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for these few moments. How we love church. How I love Pastor Crawford, his family, his church family. I pray that you would meet the need. I pray for Christy Berger as she comes on staff pretty soon, that this church would accept her and love her as they've loved others. And I pray that Christy would feel the love that's here. Help us in our struggles, because we need you with the culture the way it is today. We need to be refreshingly peculiar. people. Help us to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.